Hey, before you're seated, let's hear it for King's World Rocks.
Right down here.
All right, you can have a seat. I got my crew here. Come on in, have a seat. You guys sit right around here. You can come over to the side, wherever you want. There you go. Just have a seat. Wherever's fine. Let's see. Can you see me now? I'm in my King's World chair. Yeah, I'm a little big for it. You guys would fit in here better, wouldn't you? I've got up here with me Ty and Dwayne and Olivia and Trace and Rebecca and Megan and Grant and Amanda. You guys say welcome to all of them. Can you guys wave at everybody? All right, that's good. Some of them are doing the behind the back wave. Yes, I don't want to turn around and look right now. Now, I want you to pay close attention because I'm going to talk for just a few minutes here, and I want you to listen as close as you can. And here's what I want to remind you of first. I want to tell you a little bit about a story that I read about. It's in print. It's not my own story, but the story kind of goes like this. In a land far, far away a long time ago, there was a king. And this king decided that he was going to get in touch with some kids that he had heard about in this village. And they were in this village and they were orphans. Do you know what orphan means? What's an orphan?
An orphan is like someone who has no parents.
No parents. That's exactly right, Olivia. Orphans don't have any parents. So there were these five kids living in this village and they didn't have any parents. So the king heard about that and decided that he was going to adopt those kids and he was going to become their dad. And so what the king did is he said, at some point I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you and you need to know that I'm coming and I want you to be my kids. So all the village people heard about this. You guys are going, what's so funny about the village people? Na, 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 na. All right, it's just a joke between, it's all about us right now, all right? So the townspeople or the village people heard that the king was going to do this with these orphans. And you know what they said? They told these kids, they said, only those with great talents get to live in the palace with the king. Only those with great talents get to live in the palace with the king. So you know what happened? Here's what the kids did. The four kids started doing things because they had special skills. One of them was a woodworker, and he started working on wood and doing really well. The other one was an artiste. The other one was a singer. And the other one was an intellectual, really book smart, you know, read a lot, knew a lot of things. So four of them went to work on their special skills. You know why? Because they knew the king was going to be coming at some point, and they wanted to get very, very good at what they did because they really thought, because the townspeople told them, only those with special gifts will get to live in the king's palace. But there was a fifth orphan. It was a little girl. She didn't have any special talents. She didn't have any special abilities. In fact, all she would do is she would sit at the gate of the village and she would welcome everybody that came to the village. Hey, how are you? And some of them would come and they would have animals with them. Some of them would come and they would have pets or they would have donkeys or they would have horses. And she would get to know them and she knew their name and she would take care of their animals and she got to be friends with them. And it was really cool. But she would go to her brothers and sisters, the woodworker and the artist and the singer and the intellectual, and say, help me get some special skills because I know the king is coming sometime and I want to make sure I have some special skills because I really don't have any. But they didn't have any time for her. They decided, we're too busy working on our special skills because we're going to impress the king. So she was a little bit sad, but she kept doing what she did. She'd stand at the gate of the village and welcome everybody. One day there was a merchant that came to the village. Do you know what a merchant is? Any idea? It's like somebody from another planet or something. A merchant is like somebody who comes and buys stuff and sells stuff. So he was traveling in, this merchant, and he came and he met this little girl at the gate and she welcomed him and said, hello, and how are you doing? And it was really cool. And then she helped to take care of his donkey. And then every day when he was going around the village, she would say hi and she would call him by name and she would wave at him. And one day he actually would sleep at the edge of the gate there in the village. And one day he was sleeping and he woke up and she's just standing right over him looking at him, you know, just laughing because she liked him and he liked her. And he said to her, he said, why do you like spending time with me? She said, I just like you. You're a nice man. You seem to be kind, and I like your donkey, and I like talking to you, and I like hanging out with you. And so the man said, well, you know, I tried to go talk to the person who's doing the woodworking, but he didn't have any time for me. I tried to talk to the artist, and she didn't have any time for me. I tried to talk to the really great singer, and he didn't have much time for me. And then I tried to talk to the really smart person, but they didn't have any time for me. They said they were too busy getting ready to impress somebody special. And then she realized, this isn't just a merchant she's talking to. It was the king. The king had come looking just like everybody else. And he came and said, I want to adopt you, little girl, not because you can impress me, but because you want to be with me, because you love me just like I am, and I love you just like you are. You know what's funny sometimes about adults, kids? Sometimes we feel like we have to impress people. Sometimes we feel like we have to impress God. But do you know what? God is not worried about us trying to impress him. God loves us just like we are. Whatever talents you have, great. Whatever talents you don't have, okay. But do you know what? The king loves you just like you are. No matter what you've done or haven't done, he thinks you're great. And he wants to spend time with you. And you know who the real king is, don't you? Who is it? It's Jesus. He's the real king. And he came looking like us, didn't he? He came and walked around the earth, looked like us. You know, he had some friends, some disciples, some followers. How many of them were there?
12.
Well, there was 12 in his immediate circle, and then there was a bunch more than that, right? And some of these followers did some funny things like adults have a tendency to do. I'm an adult, so I can talk about us sometimes. Sometimes we do silly things. In fact, in Matthew chapter 18, I want to read this to you. It's not going to be on the screen, so you can listen close and follow along with me if you'd like, but listen to this. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus, and here's what they asked him. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's a funny question, isn't it? Who's the coolest, best, greatest in the whole kingdom of heaven? That's what they asked Jesus. So you know what Jesus did? Amanda, come here for a second. Come stand right here next to me. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus said, why don't you take a look at her? This is what he said, really. It wasn't you, really, were you? Are you 2,000 years old? No, you don't look like it. It says, he called a child and had the child stand among them. And here's what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You can sit down a minute. Thanks. So Jesus gives them this object lesson. All these disciples are wondering, who's the greatest? Who's the best? Who gets to do the best things? And Jesus gets a child and brings the child up and maybe holds the child. I don't know what the child was doing. Maybe holds a child. I don't know how old. Weren't 2,000 years old like Amanda. But maybe holds a child and says, unless you change, that word for all you adults here, that word change in the original language that Jesus was using is the word converted. Unless you are converted, not in the sense of salvation, but unless you are converted, unless you change from thinking this way of having to be everything successful and impressive to me, unless you change and are welcoming to me, just like the humility of this little child, you'll never really understand and grasp and see the kingdom of God. Jesus uses this object lesson, and he uses a dependent and defenseless child, but a child who was also welcoming and trusting. Now, let's not say for just any old thing when we're talking about this. Sometimes we romanticize children to the point that we think that they've never done anything wrong. Who up here in our children has ever done anything wrong? Please raise your hand. Olivia, you better raise that hand quickly. There you go. All right. Your mom and dad will be going, I don't know. All right. So we've all done something wrong, right? Every one of us. My hand's up too, because I was a kid one time too. So we've all done something wrong. In fact, I want you to turn around real quick and look. How many out here have ever done something wrong? Everybody raise their hand. And you know what? They were all kids once too. All right? So you can turn back and look at me. That was everybody, wasn't it? So we're not romanticizing the fact that children can't ever do anything wrong or anything like that. So Jesus isn't saying they're perfect or they're, you know, any of those things. But he says, whoever humbles himself like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Somewhere when we get to be adults, we start losing that whole sense, don't we? We start losing the welcoming of the kingdom of God, the welcoming of Jesus, the trusting like a child, the dependency. We start losing that somewhere because we get so inflated with our own sense of self-importance. We've distilled the solar system down to our street address because everything is functionally about us. And we get so enamored with our importance because now we're making money and we have a career and we're on a fast track and we've got responsibility and man, aren't we important? And everything really revolves around us and we lose the sense of just like a child welcoming the kingdom of God wherever we find it and trusting Jesus no matter what. It's funny how that happens. So you've got this one scene with a child in Matthew 18, but Jesus gives us another quick flash of a scene with a child in Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse number 13. Listen to what it says. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So his disciples are involved in a very important discussion. In fact, the discussion that was right before that the children in the scripture gives us the indication that they interrupted the discussion, by the way. You know what they were talking about? Divorce. Before that, they were talking about forgiveness. So Jesus is up there talking about forgiveness and divorce, and these kids just kind of bust in and they interrupt. And the disciples, they're real mad with the parents, mad with everybody, and they start pulling them out. Get out of here, kids. We're talking about important things. We got important stuff to do. Jesus says, hang on one second. Yeah, we're talking about important stuff, but they are important. Don't restrict them from coming to me because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens is like this. They welcome the kingdom. They love having the opportunity to be around me. And you and I need to learn from that. Jesus is trying to communicate here. It's not just about us being so impressive with all the things we know. We may can learn something from these little mysterious beings called kids, if we'll pay attention. Because when we pay attention, we see glimpses of the kingdom of God because of their wonder. Because of their welcoming, because of their love, because they're not inhibited to jump up and down and say, it's Jesus. See, the rest of us, we've grown old in our minds. We don't want to celebrate Jesus anymore. We don't want to welcome him sometimes. We don't want to be enamored with his presence, and it gets lost on us. Then Jesus gives us one more glance right here in Matthew chapter 21. It's a very interesting picture. Verse number 12 says this, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Could you imagine Jesus coming through the church and just start flipping tables? Just throwing tables everywhere. Well, they were buying and selling and doing stuff that they weren't supposed to do. It wasn't so much the buying and selling, but it's Jesus. He told them why. He said, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, it says in another passage, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and Jesus healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and when they saw the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, the chief priests and the scribes were mad. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Jesus said, yes. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? So Jesus is in the temple area, and all the people who were supposed to get it, the people who are really smart, the people who know lots about God and his law, they're really mad at what Jesus is doing, and he's turning over the tables, and all of these adults are really mad at Jesus, and you've got these kids echoing in the background, and they're shouting at the top of their voices, "Hosanna to the Son of David." In this picture, just about the only people that really got it were kids. They were about the only people that got it. How come we lose that? It's not that we're to go back and be infantile and immature and those kind of things. It's not that we need to go back to just wanting, you know, cold macaroni and cheese out of a box and all that stuff. It's not that at all, even though it's really not that bad. It's not that. We're not trying to digress. We're not trying to become more immature as adults, but there is something that we lose that Jesus never intended us to lose, and that is the wonder of his presence and the wonder of who he is and the opportunity as a result to be overwhelmed with the nature of who he is. Man, don't miss the moments of wonder. Sometimes we can. It was a few years ago, and me and my two guys, Trace is one of them, and Tanner, my other one, who's sitting down here on the front, he just raised his hand. That's me. Me and Trace and Tanner, and we went to these woods, and we decided to just go on a little adventure. And we went to these woods. They're kind of our own special place. It's here in Western New York, but it was about three, four years ago. And it's kind of our own special place, and we went on this track in the woods. And we're hanging out there, and then while we're in there, I remember Tanner kind of looking and going, "Hey, Dad." I was like, "Yeah." And he was going, "Where do you think these woods go?" And you know how those eyes go? And you start getting the sense, okay. And then Trace was going, "Yeah, there's a trail here. Think we ought to go down it?" I was like, "Yeah." See, what I knew in that moment, there was a moment of wonder that was beginning. And I didn't want to do anything to mess it up. I've messed it up plenty of times, but I didn't want to mess it up this moment. It was a moment of wonder. And they're saying, "Let's go. Where do you think it leads?" "I don't know." So we're following this trail, and every now and then we'd stop, and I go, "Did you hear that?" "Yeah." "What do you think it is?" "Think it's a bear?" "I don't think so." "Think it's a polar bear?" "It's buffalo." "Yeah, maybe." "So what do you think it is?" "I don't know." So we finally get to the edge of the woods, and when we creep up to the edge of the woods, there's this massive open field, and there's these fruit trees out there, and Tanner looks at me and he says, "Dad, did we come out in Florida?" And I said, "Maybe." And then we look in the distance, and in the distance, there's this huge building, and we can see this spire kind of that's running up in this building. And they both look and they go, it's a castle. It's a mystery castle. I wonder who lives there. And so we started talking about who lives there, and we finally decided that a wicked witch lived there. It was not good. So we had to sneak up to the castle. So that was our day that day. What I saw developing in their eyes from an early place was this sense of wonder, and I wanted to go with it and run with it for a little while, and we did. And finally, on our way back, before we left those woods, we decided, I had a little pocket knife, and we decided we would carve our initial on one of those trees to remind ourselves about that time when we were all together living in this place of wonder, and we were all in it together. Me and my two guys, our age didn't separate us, nothing separated us. We were just in that moment, and we carved our initial, a big G, right on this tree, and it's our special tree in these woods that you'll never find. And we'll never tell, will we, boys? Nope. It's our special spot. You see, if we lose the wonder of who we are and we lose the wonder of what it means to be enamored with God, we're in danger of missing the whole point. In fact, there is a book called The Applause of Heaven. Max Lucado's a guy you probably know, but there's a piece of this I don't want you to miss. And I could have just paraphrased it, but I'd rather just read it to you because it's brilliant. And he reminds us of the danger of losing the point in the midst of all that we're trying to do. And that's what kids remind us about. Listen to what he says. He says, "The legends of the Taj Mahal, they all fascinate, but there is one that haunts. The favorite wife of the Mughal emperor, Shah Jahan, died. Devastated, he resolved to honor her by constructing a temple that would serve as her tomb. Her coffin was placed in the center of a large parcel of land, and the construction of the temple began around her coffin. No expense would be spared to make her final resting place magnificent. But as the weeks turned into months, the Shah's grief was eclipsed by his passion for the project. He no longer mourned her absence. The construction consumed him. One day, while walking from one side of the construction site to the other, his leg bumped against a wooden box. The prince brushed the dust off his leg and ordered the worker to throw the box out. Shah Jahan didn't know he had ordered the disposal of the coffin that he had now forgotten, that was hidden beneath layers of dust and time. The one the temple was intended to honor had been forgotten, but the temple was erected anyway. Difficult to believe, perhaps, but eerie nonetheless. Could someone build a temple and forget why? Could someone construct a palace yet forget the king? Could someone sculpt a tribute and forget the hero? You answer those questions. Answer them in a church. The next time you enter an assembly of worship, position yourself where you can see the people and then decide. You can tell the ones who remember the slain one. They're wide-eyed and expectant. They're children watching the unwrapping of a gift. They're servants standing still as a king passes. You don't doze off in the presence of royalty. And you don't yawn while receiving a gift, especially when the giver is the king himself. You can also tell the ones who only see the temple. Their eyes wander. Their feet shuffle. Their hands doodle and their mouths open, not to sing, but to yawn. For no matter how hard they try and stay amazed, their eyes start to glaze over. All temples, even the Taj Mahal, lose their luster after a while. The temple gazers don't even mean to be bored. They love the church. They can cite its programs and praise its pastors. They don't mean to grow stale. They put on hats and hose and coats and ties and come every week, but still something's missing. The one they once planned to honor hasn't been seen in a while. But those who have seen him, they can't seem to forget him. They find him, often in spite of the temple rather than because of it. They brush the dust away and stand ever impressed before his tomb, his empty tomb. The temple builders and the Savior seekers, you'll find them both in the same church, on the same pew, at times even in the same suit. One sees the structure and says, "What a great church." The other sees the Savior and says, "What a great Christ." Which do you see? See, the question, ladies and gentlemen, is whether or not you and I will come to Jesus with the heart and eyes of a child. Because for too often in modern day Christianity, churches have asked kids to come to Jesus like adults, instead of asking adults to come to Jesus like children. The faith of a child, the wonder of a child, the welcoming and trusting of a child. That, Jesus says, is the spirit of the kingdom. You can learn from them if you'll pay attention. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. I want to remind you of something. How much God loves you. Just like I told these kids how much God loves them, I want to remind you of how much God loves you. So much so that Jesus carved his initials on a tree to remind us of the moment. He died on a cross so that you and I might be able to experience forgiveness, be able to experience new life. He came and lived among us and looked like us and acted like us and said, "I'm not looking for you to impress me. I want you to love me. I want you to welcome me. I want you to trust me." But understand this, we cannot do that on our own. We can't earn our way to God. We can't impress him enough. We've got to understand that we've sinned, we've messed up, we've already acknowledged that, and that we can't save ourselves, but only Jesus can. But if this morning you've never given your life to Christ, maybe you've been trying to think your way to God, maybe you've tried to rationalize your way to God, maybe you've tried to answer every question there is to answer. Good luck, I haven't done it. But maybe it is God wants to remind you today to learn something from our kids. That if we'll have the faith of a child, the welcoming and trusting and humility of a child, that Jesus says he welcomes that as an expression of his kingdom and welcomes us when we do that. If you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, maybe you'd like to pray something like this in your heart. Just silently where you're seated, Lord Jesus, I realize that I've sinned. I realize I've made mistakes. I'm asking you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose from the dead. And with the faith of a child, I want to tell you that I love you, Jesus. I want to ask you to come and live in my heart and to be with me forever. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here and you say, Jerry, I just prayed that with you and meant it. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to embarrass you. Would you just show me that? Kind of put your hand up in the air and say, hey, that's me. I just prayed that with you, meant it with all my heart. Thanks. Just keep it up for a second. Let me see your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Thanks. God bless you guys. I want to pray for you. And then I would just simply ask you, you can put your hands down. Then I would just simply ask you, when we're done, I'm going to be waiting in the fireside room. I'd love for you to come by and let me know that. Father, thanks for our time together. It's a privilege. Thank you for what we've seen today, what we've learned, what we've been challenged to, God. And thanks, God, that with our children, life is not just about what we can teach them. But Jesus, you've taught us some great things through them today. You've reminded us about the wonder of the kingdom, the joy that there is in serving you, the humility and dependency that we must exemplify when we come to you, and that your kingdom has that kind of atmosphere. Help us to remember that, God, as we teach our children and as we learn from them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for listening. You guys stay right here for just a second. Our ushers are coming, and we're going to receive the Lord's offering this morning. And I've got my buddy here with me, Ty. Come on up here, Ty. Ty's going to lead us in prayer. We're going to pray for our offering, all right? If you don't give after Ty leads in prayer, it's tough. Ty's a prayer. So Ty, I'm going to give you this microphone, okay? It's a cool microphone. You hold it right here. I'll tell you what, I'll hold it for you, okay? Make it easy on you. So let's go ahead and pray with Ty, okay?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us have this opportunity to be together today for KW and the WC so we can have children and parents together today. Please bless this offering to so you can use it for whatever you need to use it for so you can bless our kingdom. Thank you for letting us have this opportunity again to be able to learn so much, and I hope that we're all going to turn into selfless servants and that we and then bless everyone that has given their heart to you today. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.